Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Letter to the Romans. It is easy to love people that are nice and essentially lovable in return. But what about the people in your life that have hurt you? We should love others without being deceitful, reject evil, embrace goodness, care for one another with affection, and treat each other with respect. Jesus raised the bar to an incredibly high standard when he stated that we should love our enemies. If God is willing to forgive us, should we not do the same for those who have hurt us? Our debt ratio towards God is so great that any evil perpetrated against us is minuscule in comparison. That doesn't mean you have to socialize with those who ridicule and hate you, but you must forgive them because love is not just a discipline, but a command from our Savior. You see, God loves us so much that He will use correction to bring us closer to Him, and it is our duty to love people in such a way that we are willing to correct them when we see them going astray. This message is entitled, Love and Correction. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be preaching a message today. It's called Love and Correction. This is a message that is hard. It's hard on us because this will attack our flesh. Heavenly Father, I just pray you will help me right now to present this message in such a way, Lord, that I will represent you and not myself. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start the reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, as we are working through the book of Romans. Let love be without discrimination. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Discrimination means without pretension, not to be deceitful. So let me read that. Let love be without deceitfulness, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. In other words, hate that. Reject that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Two verses. Two powerful verses. Spoken, written down by a man some 1900 years ago as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. A Pharisee, a proud Jew, that God humbled on the road to Damascus. And he wrote this. These are things that he wants us to do. In honor, preferring one another. This is something we're not used to. Because in our nature, it is me first, and everybody else second and third. So let's look upon this now. Now Jesus raised the bar, incredibly high standard. He raised it very high when he stated that we should love our enemies. Jesus will not referring here to an enemy army approaching with the intent to plunder and kill. Thank God that the Christians in the years past took up arms and drove the Muslims out of Europe. Otherwise, Christianity would have died out. Thank God for the men that rose up against evil, Nazism, The men, they fought in many different wars against oppression. I'm not talking about wars that are created to line the pockets of some people, but to hold back evil. Thank God for the men that fought in the revolution in the United States. Without these men fighting, we will not have a nation. The men that fought to hold the Union together in the Civil War, and for the men and women in churches that have been fighting, testifying, preaching, teaching Sunday school. You know, we never think about the tens of thousands of men and women that every Sunday goes to a church and teach little children about Jesus. That's important. Jesus was not referring to a rapist getting ready to rape your wife. He's not talking about that. There are certain times when you do take the sword. You take a gun, and you have to, with force, destroy evil. Jesus was speaking about regular people who might slander you, take advantage of you, gossip about you in church, or a nasty relative that done great harm. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and see what Jesus is talking about. That's Matthew, the 5th chapter. You know, when I came back to Christ in 1966, and we joined the Baptist Church, the Southern Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, and we had some loving people there. They were very nice. It was a small church, about 30 people, and they were all loving, and we had unity in the church. And I thought that this is the way all Christians are. And I simply was so happy to be a Christian and to be part of the family of God. My balloon got shut down when my pastor was forced to resign. The area missionary didn't like him. Denomination intrigues. And he was forced to resign. And I almost walked away from church. But this man, he was honorable. And he simply said this. He took me aside and said, "Sit down, John." He said, "You follow Jesus. I might not have been, they might not have done good to me. But," he said, "I go now. The next pastor coming, you stay with him. You stay with Jesus." And I did. He was a good pastor. He was actually part of the congregation at that time also. Got to seminary. And I thought, man, seminary must be heaven on earth. Everyone's saved. We're living on 600 acres of land. And Christ is king. And I find out Christ was not king of the seminary. And I find out men were bitter, slanderous, gossiping, narrow-minded. And when they had faith in the Bible, they tried to destroy us. I survived that. I got a little bit cynical. I got out in church, started pastoring. And I thought, you know, well, we're going to create a nice Christian atmosphere. And as more people came in, I found out that people have an agenda. People didn't like each other. Fights between families in the church. And I tell you what, there's nothing more hellish than a good Baptist business meeting. Nothing is held back. I never seen such venom and evil spewed out of the mouth of people in business meetings. And I had my share of them for more than 40 years. And I found out that Satan is not going to the bars. He doesn't send his demons to the bars, the whorehouses. He sent them to church. This is where the battle is. And I learned this. It is hard to keep people going year in and year out and be faithful. Offense is something that hits a lot of Christians. So let's talk about now what Jesus is talking about. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus said this, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." He's not talking about outside enemies. He's talking about church members. He's talking about family members. He's talking about people on your job. He's talking about people in your neighborhood, in our nation. I want to read that again. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you, and persecute you." That's a big order. Now, a lot of people says, you know, I really don't want to go that far. Someday, each one of us are going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to see his face. You're going to stand all by yourself. You're going to get your judgment and your rewards. You cannot have anyone else with you talking for you. He's going to look at you and call you by name. And he's going to ask you this. "Why did you say that you loved me when you were on earth, but you were not obedient?" And you will say, "Well, Lord, I was tithing. I went to church. I taught Sunday school. I helped people out. I gave to the poor. I did a lot of things. I witnessed." And he's going to say, "But you did not obey me." And you might say, "My Lord, what did I not do?" He said, "I told you to love your enemies. I told you to bless them that curse you. I told you to do good to them that hate you. I told you to pray for them who despitefully used you and persecute you. But you got mad. You got offended. You got cynical, and you walked away, and you refused." On that day, what would you say to Jesus? "Lord, I'm sorry. I should have not done that." But you know what? It will cost you. Now we're still on earth. We have a chance to change. Why did Jesus say this? "That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on evil and on good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust." Can you imagine the Father God seeing right now all the destruction on this earth? The wars, the killing of children, women, torture, throwing people in prison, not having justice in this country. People in prison that should not be there. All the things that are happening, all the abortions. God sees that. And yet, he lets it rain on the good and the bad. He's simply saying this, I'm going to have my hand held out. Today, God is your friend. He's saying this, I know you're sinning. I know you're doing bad, but I want to forgive you. I want you to come and repent. Will you repent? The day will come, but it'll be judgment. If you die without Christ, you're going to go to the lake of fire. And then Jesus said, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. Have you noticed this? Who do we invite for people to come to our home for a meal? You don't invite your enemies. When was the last time you invited your worst person that you hated? And you said, I want you to come to dinner. I want to take you out for dinner. We don't do that. We invite people that we know that like us and we like them. But Jesus wanted to go a step further. To treat those that hate you. And if you salute your brethren only, would you do more than others? Do it even the publicans so. Be you therefore perfect. What a perfect means. Complete. Be you therefore complete. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect or complete. This is where we want to start out this morning. What is Jesus talking about? Love. Now, every one of us are sinful. We got a sinful nature. And it is not in us to live like this. I want to take it to Matthew chapter 18. A lot of people that have been around me that have been ministers, I don't know, ministering. There were times when I told my wife this, I'm never going to make another friend. I'm never going to get people close to me. It hurts too much when they leave, when they turn on you. And the Holy Spirit said, you can't live like that. You can't live like that. We have to reach out. In Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times. Jesus unto him, I sin to you until 7 times. But it is 70 times 7. That does not mean that if somebody hurts you, steal from you, that you continue to let them steal from you. Of course you protect yourself. You tell them you can't come on the property anymore. And you behave. But in our hearts, in our souls, we have to forgive them. We have to forgive them. Particularly people that you have done a lot of good to. And they turn around and gossip about you, do bad things, and try to destroy you. We had some people living here some time ago. And they decided they were unhappy with us. And it is one thing, people says, well, we're unhappy, you know, we want to leave, you know, fine, you know, God bless you, you know. We don't force anyone to be with us. But this, particularly people, two of them, decided it was not enough to leave. They wanted to destroy us. And they went to the authorities in the county, and placed a complaint that we were very disruptive in the neighborhood. And then to go to the county, had to discuss it with them and show it. And I asked this and said, who is our accuser? Who is it that is hurting so bad? And the county clerk said, oh, we cannot tell you that. We just have a complaint. You have been accused. According to the Constitution, if you are accused, you are have the right to have your accuser in front of you. Have it publicly so you can defend yourself. I knew who they were. And the case was dismissed. But you know what? It hurt me. Because I thought about this. Trying to close us down. Trying to destroy the ministry. Just to get back at me because they felt that I was not doing right to them. What about the people that were coming to get saved? Those that were going to come to be delivered. Those are the ones that will pay the price. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. It's not a problem. What about those coming behind? Could I forgive them? The first few weeks, I didn't want to think about it. I just pushed it aside. But their faces came back. Holy Spirit brought them back. And finally, I confronted myself and said, I have to forgive them. I have to release them. And I did. I said, God, you help me, because it's not in me. Amen. Help me, Lord. I don't want to have them for breakfast. I don't want to have them for lunch. I don't want to have them for dinner. I want to get rid of them. Yes. So I released them, forgave them. I can think about them today. They were here at the chapel. I see their faces. But I have no bitterness in my heart. I feel sorry for them. They were the losers. Not me. But I had to forgive them. I'm going to meet them someday in heaven. They're going to have to face me. But I had to forgive them. You can't walk around and have unforgiveness. It's impossible. Then Jesus said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven, like the certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which was owed him 10,000 talents. It's like $3.8 million. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had on payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe me. He owed him $3,200 compared to $3.8 million. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord and all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts or from your soul forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. What does that mean to us today? It means that you and I are sinful. We were saved by grace. But as human beings, we are vile, filthy, dirty, stinking. I'm sure you've seen people that are in the world that are not saved. I mean, you know, they as ugly as they can be. Their language is foul. I mean, there's just nastiness all over. We owe God a lot. God said, I will forgive you. It doesn't matter what people do to you and me. They can never do enough to you and me that would be bigger than the sin that they had to God. 3.8 million to a $3,000. And Jesus said, I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors. I want you to think about something today. You know, we blame sickness on food. We blame sickness, you know, stuff we eat and so on. And, you know, when I got high blood pressure for this, you know, I got a heart problem. And, you know, we got all kind of different things. And the question is, you know, we are tormented. How much unforgiveness is there among people? You that are watching me today, is there anyone that you have not forgiven? Anyone that eats you every day? And then you wonder, why am I not healed, God? By your stripes, I was supposed to be healed. And God says, well, there is something in your heart, unforgiveness. I believe there's many, many Christians that are sick, have unforgiveness. Not only to other people, but to themselves. Yeah. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord with all your heart and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't love yourself, you haven't forgiven yourself. And when we hate ourselves, our soul will turn on our body and destroy it with sickness. Healing, the balm of Gilead, is when you come to the cross and you realize that God loves you. You ask Him to forgive you. You're born again. And the Holy Spirit comes into you. But it's so hard to forgive yourself for the things that you've done. And all of us got things to regret. There are things, I mean, I regret that I didn't do. But I realized one thing. I cannot go back in time. What I did yesterday, I cannot change today. It doesn't matter what I do. It's done. At a restaurant, as we went yesterday, I got a bill. It was one of these restaurants, we don't have a lot of light. And I took a 6 for a 0. So this morning, I realized I underpaid the restaurant. And praise God, I can do something about that. I would call them later on today and simply say, hey, I made a mistake, couldn't see it. I want to make it right. I want to give you the money I owe you. I can change that. What about people that died? What about if you had an abortion? What about if you killed somebody? What about you hurt somebody and you can't put it back? This is when you're going to come to the cross and say, Jesus, I feel so bad. Take it from me. I know you have forgiven me. Help me to forgive myself. Help me to release myself to you right now. And He will. You have this moment right now. You have the hope of tomorrow. But if you live in regrets and unforgiveness for yourself, then you don't have this moment now and you don't have tomorrow. Don't let Satan steal that from you. Now, Jesus stated that the only people that loved him were those that kept his commandments. Let's read from John chapter 14, verse number 21. He that has my commandment and keep them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You take Muslims. They read the Quran, and the Quran says, kill infidels. Destroy them. And they said, okay, Allah, Master, we will obey the Prophet. We will do it. And you get them putting on a suicide vest. Or they go, and they know they're going to get killed. But they go, in the name of their God, the demon God of Allah. And they do the killing, and they get killed. Why? Because they are committed to their Master. They are committed unto death. Jesus tells us, love your enemies. Don't kill them. Do them good. And we said, Master, I give you money. I do this. But I can't do that. Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. It can't be more clear. Don't say you love Jesus unless you obey him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Jesus said, this is not my teaching, this is my Father's teaching. These things have I spoken to you, be yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. Now, are we going to obey that? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 now. It's Matthew chapter 5. If you pick it up in verse number 21. You know, when you get older, you look back in time. And what you want to do, you want to live in such a way that when you look back, you can look back without regrets. Doesn't mean that you've not done bad things, but you're forgiven. It means that you changed. You don't do the same mistake twice. Matthew 5, 21. You've heard it was said about them of old time, you should not kill. And whosoever should kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without the cause should be in danger of the judgment. Notice now, without the cause, whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca. You know what Raca means? Worthless. If you tell somebody you are nothing, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're garbage. You know what Jesus said? You should be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you fool, you idiot, shall be in danger of hell fire. We need to watch what we're saying. Because when we speak, we either bless or we curse. Nothing between. Leave therefore your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly. Notice now, agree with your enemy while he's still around you, but you are in the way with him, lest any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Wherefore I said to you, you shall by no means come out thence. You have paid the uttermost farthing. How many people are tied up in wheelchairs? How many people are tied up with all kinds of diseases? Look at the drugs they are selling today. I mean, you watch a television news program, and all they'll sell you is medication, drugs. Drugs for this, drug for that. People are sitting in prison. Their bodies are sick. And they don't understand. The sickness comes from not obeying Jesus. You might say, but I'm not the believer. It doesn't matter. God's laws are for believers and unbelievers. Traffic laws are for everyone. If you come into the United States and you come in from Spain with a Spanish driver's license and you start driving here, you can do that as a tourist. But you've got to obey our traffic laws. You may say, well, I don't care. I don't live here. I'm not an American citizen. I do what I want. You'll be held accountable. If you have an accident, you will pay. If you kill somebody, you do time. All of us are responsible, saved or unsaved. It will cost us. So what we need to do, we need to have a little talk with Jesus. You see, God laid this upon our heart to preach this as I go through Romans. You know, some people don't like it. And, you know, they tell me later, you know, I don't like that. It might hurt the offering. It might hurt the income. But you see, you as a Christian should tell what Jesus told you was in the Bible. You should tell other people. Amen. Do you love him? Keep his commandments. Now let's turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Now, correction. It's not something that, you know, we look forward to. We don't like that. I don't like to be corrected. People don't like to be corrected. But you see, the thing is this. If you're corrected, we can change. I got to hand it to my nephew Charles. They have 6 children, he and his wife. And they behave very good. And he simply said this, I used the rod earlier until I got respect. And I realized disobedience means the rod. The rod means a red rear end. It means pain. I don't want pain. So I behave. Now, all he has to do is to raise his hand and said, ah, and they go, okay. And they obey. That's really how you and I want to be. We want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And the Holy Spirit said, do this, do that, whatever. We say, yes. We don't want God to use a 2x4 on you. Or 2x6. Sometimes a beam. It hurts. It's painful. But you see what? God will chastise us. He will discipline us. And the only option he has is called P-A-I-N, pain. We all react to that. We don't want pain. No, I don't want pain. And then he says, okay, change your course. That's right from Hebrews 12 here. Wherefore, seeing you also compassed the Bible so great the cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Right now, folks, we are being broadcast into the heavens. And the people in heaven can see on big screens what happened on the earth. They can see what we're doing down here. It's a great cloud of witnesses. And they're rooting for us. They say, no, no, don't take that drink. Don't smoke that cigarette. Don't take that dope. Oh, forgive. And when we do what God wants, they cheer in heaven. They say, yeah, he did it. So remember this. When you go to the bathroom, when you sit in your kitchen, you drive in your car, wherever you are, you're never alone. You got angels around you, you got demons around you, you got cameras on you, and you are broadcast. You are a movie star. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured his cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I just want you to think about this on this resurrection Sunday. I want you to think about Jesus. He came to his own, to the people of Israel. And what did they do? The leadership rejected him. How do you like rejection? When people say, I don't like you, get lost. You know, it doesn't feel good. It feels bad. So then, they accused him of something he had not done. He healed the sick, cast out demons, did all these things. And they said, now we want him crucified. What do you think Jesus stood there looking around and said, you know, what have I done? I done you good, man. Crucify. Don't you think that he was tempted to self-assert unthankful human beings? Dirty scum. Why should I die for you? But he looked upon the people. He saw their souls. He saw hell. He saw the lake of fire. And the love of God in him simply said, you might be scum. You might be hateful. But I love your soul. I will try to save you. I give myself for you. Now we are his disciples. We wear our feelings on the skin. You offend me? Hey, turkey, get lost. I don't want to talk to you. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary of fainting the minds. You are not yet resistant to blood striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not you the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Amen. So when things go bad, let's ask ourselves a question. Okay, Lord, did I do something wrong? Is there a correction that is needed here? Instead of blaming it on the devil all the time. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Now, God is not disciplining us to kill us. He's disciplining us to help us to live better. To have more and more blessed life. You must just want it pretty hard. A stroke is pretty hard to get. Cancer hurts a lot. Arthritis is very painful. You know, some of these diseases that are coming on us, they are painful. And God knows that. But you see, there's also spiritual law that says if you sin, Satan has the right to afflict you. So we have affliction from the devil, and we have a scourge or discipline of God. God doesn't throw out sickness. He allows it. But God does not use sickness. He speaks to us. He disciplines us in certain ways. But it's not destructive. It is corrective. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. What son is he whom the father chastises not? So you didn't get the money. You didn't get the car you wanted. Things were withheld from you. Yes, God would withhold things from us. That's part of the discipline in order to make us to go the direction he wants us to go. Furthermore, we have had fault of our flesh, corrected us. And we gain a reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for a profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastised man for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight path with your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but that it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So God has corrected us. Let's quickly turn that to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's 2 Timothy, the third chapter. If you pick it up here from verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The scripture, this is our correction. This is what God is using. It's in the Word. The Holy Spirit would illuminate the Word. It's all in the Bible. As far as the Bible is concerned, it's complete when it comes to what we need to know about salvation and walking with the Lord. This is what we use. This is why I am preaching. This is the reason that I'm not going to preach fluff. I'm going to simply say, this is what Jesus wants. And this is what we want to give to Jesus. Now, Jesus is using preachers. He's using you. He's using all Christians to speak his words. And then we look in 4, in the same book. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This is a charge to you and me. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Look at the churches around us. Look at people around us. Lost, dumbed down, stupefied. What are we going to do about it? We cannot reach everyone. We can reach some that God lays upon our heart. But watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. These were the instructions that Paul gave just a few days before he was beheaded to Timothy. And Timothy kept the faith. And generations later, it was lost. We need to go back to the Bible. James is my next book. The book of James. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Brethren, if any one of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. It is our duty. Do you love people? Then if they need to be corrected, correct them. If you don't love them, of course you don't. Who cares? But if you really love somebody, you want to correct them. That doesn't mean you can go up to somebody with a Bible and thump it on their chest and say, hey man, I'm here to correct you. They're not going to take that. You're not going to take that somebody come up. It got to be done in love. And you know what? You got to show that you care for them. The only one that you receive correction from, let me speak slow now. The only one that you will receive correction from is from someone you respect, you love them, and you feel that they are walking with Jesus. Those you will receive it from. If somebody come up arrogant, you don't know them that well, and they say, hey, I'm here to straighten you out, you won't listen. You blow them off. Remember this. Before you correct, you got to be kind, friendly, and love them. And turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Here's a lot of wisdom in this. Proverbs chapter 9, beginning in verse number 6. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in a way of understanding. He that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame. He that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. He's going to knock you out. Reprove not a scorner. In other words, if somebody is in their sins and don't want to hear it, don't reprove them. Lest he hate you. But now listen to this. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. A wise man, rebuke him, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Are you a wise man? I learned this. I know some things, but I don't know everything. And I'm a fool. If somebody's skilled in an area to give me advice, and I blow it off, I'm stupid. I listen to people. I let them tell me what they think. Because that's how you learn. And you get wiser. Because you can't know everything. So we need one another to have the knowledge. Closing scripture. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is and I'm going to start in verse number 24. 7:24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, as Jesus speaking now, and does them, I will liken him unto the wise man which built his house upon a rock. Let me say this again to you. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You want your business to flourish? You want your marriage to flourish? You want your career to flourish? You want things to grow and be blessed around you? Jesus said, listen to me, and do what I tell you to do. And then he gave a story, a parable. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. You build your house on the rock. You build a business on the rock. You build it right. There might be difficulties. There might be setbacks. But eventually, your business will hold. Your marriage will hold. Your life will hold. If you build it on the rock. How do you build it? By obeying Jesus' sayings. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Any church that is built on anything except the rock of Jesus Christ will fall. We've been through a lot of storms over the years. A lot of storms, 45 years of storms. But I'm still standing. The ministry is still going on. We're still reaching people. We've been knocked down, but we came back up again. You know what? I'm going to be preaching to the day I have an angel tap me on the shoulder and say, John, you're done. Step out of your body. You're going home. I'm not going to retire. You never retire in the kingdom of God. You retire from regular work. But the kingdom of God, you don't retire. So you have now an opportunity this morning. The Holy Spirit has opened up the word for you. And simply saying this. Now, Jesus said, you have an option. Here's my word. Read it, do it, and be blessed. Or read it, ignore it, and pay the consequences. Simple. That's how simple it is. Human says, well, you know, I'm in a circumstance of this and that. I don't care if you owe $5 million. You line up with God, God can take away the $5 million. Pay that debt off. Whatever it is, nothing is impossible for God. But everything starts with you and me lining up in agreement. We'll be simply said, Jesus, if you said it, I believe it, it settles it, I'll do it. If you do business with people, you cannot do business unless you agree. You agree on the price, you agree on the time, you agree whatever it is. Here now you have a contract. But Jesus said, build a house on this rock. I laid it out. I cannot do any more. I cannot lead you any further. I led you right now to the word. Here it is. What are you going to do? You decide. It's your life. You can be blessed or you can be cursed. You might say, well, I'm not even saved, but I heard I want to get saved. Well, you get saved right now. You see, salvation can take place in a car, in a home, in a bar. It can take place in the outside in the field, in the forest, at a lake. You don't have to be in the church to get saved. All you have to do is to say, my Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I repent right now. Jesus, come and save me. And he will. You pray that prayer. In a few moments, it will be finished. But a chance is going to come. You will hear him. Read some scriptures. He will then say, would you pray with me? He very slowly pray a prayer. And you pray that prayer with him, and it will save you. Not because he prayed it, but because he's following the word of God. Amen. And if you do that today, you get saved today. Would you do me a favor? Would you write me, call me, email me, and say, I heard your message. I came to Christ. I'm saved. I want to pray with you. I want to give you some literature. I want to help you to grow. To those of you that are walking with Christ, you got the word today. Some of you are doing great. I don't want you to feel condemned. But if there need to be a fine-tuning, be a wise man, be a wise woman, and say, yeah, I'll need to tweak this a little bit, and then be blessed in Jesus' name. Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, and for the word of God. We thank you for many blessings, Father God. And we just give you praise. We thank you that we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every day in our life. And that our souls are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Lord. We thank you for this. We thank you for knowledge and understanding in the Word, Lord. And we ask that you would help each of us daily in our lives to continue to love our neighbors, even when we are ridiculed, persecuted, looked at with disdain, whatever the situation, Lord, we all deal with it. Help us to love our neighbor. That's key, Lord. And then we lift up the situation in the world today, Lord. We cannot ignore it. It looks like there's saber rattling all over the world. And there is nations that are pushing against each other, and the demons want to stir up another war, killing many people. We come against that, Lord. We're not warmongers. And we lift up the United States of America and this president and these the warmongers that are in office in the USA today, supposed to be public servants. And we pray for your hand to be on the situation, Lord. Shut down the warmongers. And let the love our neighbor go forth. And we come against those that are evil and want to kill. And you know who they are throughout the world, Lord. And we lift up Jesus Christ. This is the only way, the one true way, on a global scale, that people will hear the gospel and follow Jesus. And we're not, we know that it's not happening in the Russian Orthodox Church or the Catholic Church. It has to happen in the hearts of men. And there has to be a true salvation experience and a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and not any church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do?
Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 23rd part in the series, The Letter to the Romans, and was entitled, Love and Correction. Love can be one of the hardest things to convey. It is commonly expressed with words, but also with actions. It is easy to love those who love you in return, but what about the people in your life that have hurt you? We should love one another without being deceitful, reject evil, embrace goodness, care for one another with affection, and treat each other with respect. Jesus raised the bar to an incredibly high standard when He stated that we should love our enemies. Now, if God is willing to forgive us, should we not do the same for those who have hurt us? Our debt ratio toward God is so great that any evil perpetrated against us is minuscule in comparison. That doesn't mean you have to socialize with those who ridicule and hate you. But you must forgive them because love is not just a discipline, but a command from our Savior. God loves us so much that He will use correction to bring us closer to Him. And it is our duty to love people in such a way that we are willing to correct them when we see them going astray. Now, are you open to correction and instruction? What kind of spiritual house are you building? This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1595. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.